quite a deal. Like, there's curtains all the way around the whole thing, big stages set up every week in town, and it was totally church for 5 years. They would set up the teardown scenes. People would show up every Saturday afternoon, work for 2 or 3 hours, putting it all together, and then after church, for 5 years, another group of people came in and tear it all down, store it away, and kind of navigating all that stuff to school, that God was doing something. We moved into the school that day, and that was 2002. A couple years later, out of a desire to plant on the campus, one of some of us decided to plant our sacrifice across the river. And that March, after the Thanksgiving, working at Sunday practice, Stephen Kelly came on staff and working over there ever since. Again, a great season of growth and celebration of what God was doing. I remember some of those conversations here. They were difficult. They were filled with joy and animosity all at the same time, because it was different and it didn't make a lot of sense at the time. And I remember those conversations well. And maybe you remember some of those conversations. They were difficult. A lot of us are just like, it's easy and perfect. We are people. We bring our mess into the equation. And it was a season of growth and a challenge at the same time. In 2009, we expanded this facility. So we had come to the point in school where we were a five-year contract was coming to an end, and out of the need to have our own space, not wanting to be in school, they didn't want to be in school anymore, we put together a building project to expand the facility, renovate the whole school, created a good space on campus, and then we moved back into it, where it sounded about 180-ish people. And a lot has changed since then over the last 8 to 10 years. Later on in our church's life, I've only highlighted these kind of significant moments. But in 2011, we went to double Silverstone training. And I remember that. I remember how much I didn't want to go to school. Why? Because I like people. I love having a full body of people. I mean, everyone sings better, everyone's more excited, there's a different dynamic in the whole room. And I remember knowing this is what we had to do, but knowing that ultimately I didn't want to do that, because it was going to ruin kind of that rich experience in the second service or that kind of thing. I remember the first Sunday with 2 services. It was me and Dan at like 9 a.m. the first time we ever did that first service. And in that moment, I'm like, this is a bad idea. But I know it happened because there wasn't any room for us to all gather together under one roof. But again, God in His faithfulness, He's going to bring other people, new faces, new stories, redemption stories. Everyone started with a great place to come back and see all of that come forward. A little later on, we knew that God wanted us to see the country. And I thought I had a great idea. And I remember spending a lot of time getting ready for a significant elders meeting where I had created a beautiful argument as to where we should plant our next church and why. And it was, you could not argue with the guy. So I thought, and I remember coming to the meeting, and I didn't even get halfway through my presentation, and it was very clearly communicated to me, you know, we're not doing it. And I remember leaving that meeting frustrated and it was honest, mad, and I got a speedy ticket on the way home from that meeting. And I emailed the elders to say, you cost me $125 in this parking speedy ticket. But what I remember from that is, all of the work that I did, doing something that I knew God wanted to do, I didn't touch that conversation again. Probably people were still mad. But second, God had a better plan than that. And out of nowhere, Jim and Isabel Slater call us, who are now one of the people in the world. And watching God bring that together was amazing. Like, amazing to watch a church that has been around for 100 years or more, make the decision to burn it out, to close its doors, to give up its constitution, to give us all of the assets, to give us the building, to give us the bank account, to burn everything that was connected to their past. But that was nothing compared to the thought of, we don't want to lose the gospel presence in our town. And watching that unfold was beautiful. To this day, when I kind of reflect on what they hold on over the last 5 to 10 years, and the first of four stories that are pretty awesome, that all speak of God's goodness and how He redeems people. I remember, Thanksgiving a year ago, where we had Samson stand up here, sitting in the same seat as he was last year from the beginning. But God's just been doing this for a long time now, and it's really exciting to see. I'm going to put these two graphics up just so you can see a little bit of what God has been doing. So, 1988, that's our first number. And then that yellow bar is the one that really captures the full site there on Sunday morning across our three sites where it's just under 600 people gathered together to declare the goodness of God. And it's just a place where we grow and change and rejoin the life of the church and the apostle to the work of Christ and the apostle and the Holy Spirit. This next slide, this is amazing. 1988, the body generally raised the general fund alone, 2 years and a half, and we will be just over $600,000. And that's just our benefit that you generously give to us through our benevolence. Ballpark amount of $30,000 that we give away every year to families who are facing need. If you're a family and you're in need, send us a phone call. We love coming alongside families. So if you know of someone in our church, if they are in that place, let us know. We would love to walk with them. We take them out of church. We have churches there. We do electric work and school. And the list goes on. All the blessed people that God has called us to care for through our missions fund, if not more, is somewhere around $70,000 that we give away every year to missionaries around the world, missionaries right here at home, and missionaries that you might can't say to you, Open Door, and Open Door, Mike and Maha, who are missionaries that we support and work with them. Beautiful that we can be moving things together in our capital fund. And we've been in the capital fund what it has felt like forever. But every year, we respond and we give somewhere around $230,000 a year into our capital fund. So if you were to look back at your generosity that God has placed on your heart over the last 10 years, it is surely within our $900,000 a year that you generously give into the work that God has called us to in this fund. It is remarkable to see that faithful, how we meet needs, regardless of the season that we are in. And we want to ask you to invite you to stand and sing and listen to our greatest blessings. It really is a testimony of God doing what He would love to do and to bring glory to His name through the work of His church. And in this place, this is the name of what stand and sing, great is God's patience. What I love about that song God is here. I've been here now for 14 years, and I know that not every season is always awesome and enjoyable. We are people, and we all bring our sharp edges to the table. We all bring our strong opinions to the board, and in this part, there's at least two significant seasons of a lot of harm. God's been faithful to bring restoration where restoration has been coming, where He has brought healing in the spaces of healing and relationships, and it's just been joy to see God doing that in the midst of the church and the struggle to keep His faith every step of the way. One of the things that I love about sharing is the opportunity to meet with Ross and Sheila. I'm going to invite them forward. Ross and Sheila were part of the original 22. And we put together a bit of an interview that brought out a couple of things that I want to see on the show. Because they have a downtown of their own faith story. So we do welcome you all to see what their faith story is. Ross and Sheila have been involved in this place for a long time. Ross was much quicker to get on board. Didn't really want to have anything to do with it. Sheila was really involved at First Baptist Church and had found her ministry home and was quite resistant to the idea. And I want to ask you, Sheila, what was it like for you personally, like that had everything you could possibly want. Birthing, chemistry, all kinds of other things that I remember being deeply involved to leave that place to come to the very wilderness in our future.
Remember it? Anyway, some tough times were when my brother called and tried to get the boss and he was really ended up to fall and he was something on. My brother's son tried to be driving and I was able to control him. I had to come back and play the church service. I couldn't go back.
From that, yeah, I was part of the meeting. of accomplishments that were mentioned earlier, and that the second pastor, Jeffrey, well, he was here. He was working by the church. And we also had a commission service. We sent off Jeff Turner to be a missionary for the
community. In that same church, I was ordained to be a missionary for the community. Chad Clemens. Down to the I want to share this with you. We wanted to spend some time highlighting the work of God here in our lives. So often we go through our life and not really see or even acknowledge or identify how God has been working in our lives. And there's a rich heritage of the Lord. We don't think that we've done that work yet. There's more work to be done in the coming years. And just to give you a little snapshot, just for now, not that long, we just have come up here. We are expanding our facilities to have these two parts of the to be done somewhere in the late October. We can use that for the administration. We have a funding line between 45 and 50 children in our mission. And we started up from January 1st to the end of May. There were 52 different babies in the nursery. And I know you will find this over the next couple of weeks. There's at least 7 or 8 here on the list. It just seems to be an activity of habit to make babies here. I don't know what's going on, but there are more announcements coming that you will find out in a short period of time. There are between 70 and 80 children downstairs in our foundation program that we work with every single Sunday morning. There's between 20 and 30 students that we work with each Friday night. And I know that on Sunday morning, we're going to come all the way downstairs and we're all going to gather to meet you. Thank you. have a generation that God has entrusted to us, that we must work very diligently and very purposefully to raise them up in a way that they, whether they choose to follow Him or not, we don't control them. But we will do our very best work at teaching them, declaring the goodness of God, what He has done, what He has made available to them, and pray that we would see our sons and daughters grow up